Good morning and happy new year. We are in the year 2021 now. 2020's gone. But I don't think things are magically going to get better just because the calendar has flipped. But it is good to know that 2020 is in the rearview mirror now, and we're heading forward in 2021. And it'll be interesting to see what happens this year. But you know, whatever happens, good, bad, or indifferent, Jesus is still Lord, and He's Lord of all, and we have our hope and our future in Him. And I just thank Him for an opportunity to live in another year. I mean, He's brought us through the toughest year of at least of my lifetime, and I'm sure most of yours too. And He's brought us into a new year, and when there's a new start to a new year, there just seems like there's new hope. Sometimes that hope fades quickly when we put our hope in the wrong thing or in the wrong person. So I just want to encourage you, just put your hope in Jesus, keep your hope in Jesus, follow Him, and whatever comes out of 2021, if you're walking with Jesus, good things are going to take place. And even during the tough times, He's going to get you through them. Today, I want us to talk about focusing our lives even more on Christ as we go through 2021. It's time to do that self-evaluation that I've talked about often. We need to take time to evaluate and see where we're at in our walk with Christ. And so we're going to talk about that today and talk about setting goals on how to become closer to Jesus Christ. But before we do, let's go to our Heavenly Father in prayer. Father God, we come to You in the name of Jesus, and we come to You thanking You for this new year. We thank You for bringing us through 2020 and all the craziness and all the challenges, all the tough times that took place during that year. We got through it all. We saw Your faithfulness. We saw that You never fail us. You never leave us. You never forsake us. And You brought us through, Father, and we thank You. And Lord, we know this year is going to be filled with many challenges, and some of those challenges are going to be what we faced last year. But God, let our faith continue to grow as we focus on You more and more, and know that You are in control, and whatever happens, we can trust You. Father, we thank You for Your Son, Jesus. We thank You for the salvation that You give us. We thank You for Your Holy Spirit, and ask Your Holy Spirit to guide us and lead us through this time we have together on the radio. And Father God, we just ask You to be with each one who's listening today. God, I pray that You just touch them. God, whatever needs they have, Lord, may they just turn it all over to You and trust You to take care of each and every one. And I pray, Father, for those who do not have that personal relationship with You through Your Son, Jesus. I pray that today will be the day. What an awesome time to do it. Start a new year, giving their lives to You and making this year a year that they really experience what true love is. And that's Your love, Father God. There's no love greater. So, Father God, we just, again, thank You. We praise You. We love You, and it's in Your holy name, Jesus, we pray. Amen. Well, after the holidays, things are beginning to get back to normal in everybody's schedule, whatever normal is. School will be starting back up, and everybody returning back to work, getting back into the swing of things. And it's just a blessing to be able to do that, though, because there's many people who can't. So let's count our blessings and thank God for them. Have you broken your New Year's resolutions yet? Most people have, if they even set them. I don't really set resolutions, but I do have goals. And I do pray that each year I can spend more time in God's Word. I can have more of a prayer life and just do more to bring honor and glory to God. Resolutions always seem to be something that's made to be broken. But today I want to encourage and challenge us to do things that bring honor and glory to God. Evaluate our lives, how our walk with God is, and what things can we do this year to become closer to God and our own personal relationship and to share Him with others. Let's do a little self-evaluation. You like self-evaluations? I do. It gives me an opportunity to take a little time and evaluate my walk with Christ and see what areas in my walk with Christ are strong and what's not, needs working on. Give me something to pray about and ask God to help me to bring glory to Him and to just draw closer to Him. Self-evaluations are like evaluations at work. Your boss calls you into his office or her office and gives you an evaluation on how you've been doing for the past year, and it lets you know if you're doing good, if you're not doing good, areas that you need improvement, areas that you're strong in. It's a good thing to know that, because if you're not doing something well, you won't know it unless you have that evaluation. So an evaluation that I'm talking about is a self-evaluation where you take a little time, just you and God, praying and asking God to show you things going on in your life. It's a wonderful thing to do, and it's worth the time to do it. Some questions that we can ask ourselves as we start this new year, that's what I really want to focus on. Think about, how much time did we waste last year? I bet we all wasted a good bit of time. How much time did we invest in growing in God and doing kingdom work, which lasts for eternity? That's what we need to keep our minds on, are things that last for eternity, and that's God and His work and just growing in Him. What we do for eternity, that's really all that matters. We fill our lives with so much stuff that really doesn't matter. But what we do to bring glory to God, that lasts forever. Everything else should be working together to bring glory to God. So it's all about Him. It's not about us. It's not about anybody else. It's not about a church. It's not about a ministry. It's about Jesus Christ. So think about how you spent your time last year and some areas that you could change where you're not wasting so much time. Instead, you're using that time to grow in Jesus Christ. Let's look at our finances. How much have we wasted? Again, it probably wouldn't be hard to find, going back through your checkbook, or I don't know, a lot of people don't really use checkbooks anymore. We use online. So you can go back into your account and see where your money was spent. And as the saying goes, where your money is, there's where your heart is. And where's our heart? Is it in the things of God, or is it in things of trying to please ourselves, trying to please others? How much have we invested in spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ? So those are tangible things that we can look at and see what needs improving and what doesn't. Did you dedicate yourself to fulfilling the Great Commission? If not, we're going to talk about that and about how we can dedicate ourselves to fulfilling the Great Commission this year. And the thing about it is, if we will dedicate ourselves to fulfilling the Great Commission this year, then here's what will happen. We'll do it the rest of our lives. Not just one day, not just a couple of days, but each and every day. Because when we truly commit our lives to fulfilling our Lord's Great Commission, we realize it's not an event. It's not a church activity. It's not an outreach. It is a lifestyle. And living for Jesus is a lifestyle. It's not just about going to church or going to a Bible study or reading a devotional in the mornings. It's about living for Him. Jesus says to follow me. And so when we follow Jesus, we decide we're going to live a lifestyle of following Him. Because Jesus wants all of us. He gave us all of Him. He did everything. He gave His life for us. And so in return, we need to give Him everything. And we need to follow Him with all that's within us. He tells us to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And that's a huge commitment. I know a lot of people are afraid of commitments. But this commitment is the one that we have to do. And it's worth it. It is worth it. And when we commit to Him, our lives change. Lives around us change. And we bring glory unto God. And there should be many opportunities to learn about discipleship, to learn about serving Christ in your churches and also in parachurch ministries like Love in Action. There's many opportunities to serve. All we have to do is say, hey, I want to help. And we start serving. We start learning how to serve Jesus by serving others. But it's key and it's so important that we go outside the walls of our houses of worship. We need to minister to the body of believers that we worship with. No doubt about that. That's biblical. But what's also biblical is going outside the walls to reach those who don't know Jesus, to minister to the needs of people, to show them the love of Jesus Christ. You know, that's what we do at Love in Action. We minister to the homeless and the needy locally. We also spread the gospel of Jesus Christ in the Philippines, Pakistan, Myanmar, India, Nepal, China, and in Haiti with our friends Give Us Hope Mission. So we must reach outside the church walls. People won't come until they see and hear Jesus in us. My mom used to tell me, "Ken, you're the only Bible some people will ever read." As a teenager, I had no idea what she was talking about. I do now. People who don't read the Bible, who've never heard of Jesus or just never thought about pursuing him, then the only Bible they're going to read is what they see in the lives of people who call ourselves believers. The unfortunate thing about the body of Christ here in the U.S. is so few people share their faith. Some 90% or even more of people who call themselves born-again believers in the U.S. do not share their faith. So what kind of Bible are people reading? If we say we're a believer in Jesus, but we don't share anything about him with others, we don't show it in our lifestyle, we're not given an accurate picture at all of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We need to have opportunities to learn how to serve. And that's one thing I love so much about the volunteers who come to Love in Action, is to see them just immerse themselves in serving others, showing the love of Jesus Christ to the homeless, and watching them grow and really understand, you know what, this is what God wants me to do. Now, there's many areas of ministry out there, and we're going to talk about some of that here in a little bit, because everybody's not called to minister to the homeless like we do, but you can still help in different ways, because we all are called to help the poor. And there's different ways we can do that. But I want to encourage you to get involved. To get involved at your church, at the ministries going on there. To get involved in places like Love in Action. And just really learn how to serve Jesus. Because once you do, once you put your feet in another man's shoes, you'll never be the same. Pastor Matthew Barnett at the Los Angeles Dream Center said that. I wish that was my quote, but that was his. I heard that back in early 2000s, and he is so right, because once we do, our lives are changed, and they're changed for the better. But we have to be about sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ, because there is plenty of room at the Lord's table, and God wants us to go out and to reach people with his gospel. You know, let's look at Luke chapter 14, verses 21 through 23. Jesus is speaking. He says, "So the servant came and reported these things to his master. Then the master of the house became angry and said to his servant, 'Go out quickly to the streets and lanes of the city and bring in the poor and crippled and blind and lame.' And the servant said, 'Sir, your command has been done, and still there is room.' And the master said to the servant, 'Go out to the highways and hedges and compel people to come in, that my house may be full.'" God wants his house to be full. He tells us to go out into the highways and hedges and compel people to come to him. So how are we going to respond to our Lord's command to make disciples? That's what he's telling us to do, and that's what I'm challenging you today to do, is to understand the Great Commission and to go and make disciples. Here are some stats. I've shared them before, but they're worthy of sharing again and again. There are an estimated 360,000 births per day around the world. 360,000. It's a lot of babies. But also, 2 people die per second. That's 151,600 people die each day. Over 151,000 people die each and every day. Do we care? And do we care where they're going after they die? Because there's one of two places that people go when we die. It's either heaven or hell. If we never lived for Jesus here, then hell is that destination for eternity. If we live for Jesus here on earth, then eternity is with him in heaven. So it's pertinent for us to go out and share the gospel. And our key scripture today is the Great Commission, Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20. Make this your life scripture. Make this scripture that you're just going to apply to your life. You're going to live it. And you're going to fulfill our Lord's command. Because this is called the Great Commission. It's not called the Great Suggestion. It's the Great Commission. Jesus is commanding us. Jesus says in Matthew 28, starting in verse 18, "And Jesus came to them and said, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age.'" Are you going and proclaiming the gospel? And are you making disciples locally, regionally, nationally, internationally? You see, the word nations there, when Jesus says, "Go and make disciples of all nations," that word nations means ethnic groups, ethnic groups. And so it's every people group out there. And there are a lot of people groups. Let me give you some stats here. And I get these from the Joshua Project, which is, look it up online. It's an awesome website to go to and check out what parts of the world filled with unreached people group, unengaged people groups. But there are approximately 16,839 people groups in the whole world. We all come from a people group. So there's many out there, almost 17,000. There are 6,997 people groups unreached with the gospel, almost 7,000 people groups unreached with the gospel. That's 41.6% of people around the world, people groups who are unreached with the gospel. It means they do not have an opportunity to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. Population-wise, let's look at it that way. There's over 7 billion people in the world, 7.47, climbing towards 8 billion people. 3.16 billion is unreached with the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's 42% of the world's population. I know here in America, and especially here in the Deep South, in Alabama, that's hard to understand because the gospel is so readily available. I mean, right here on the radio, we're talking about it. You can hear it online. Some of you may be live streaming right now. Bibles, you can pick one up at many different stores, not just a Christian bookstore. There are churches, we say, on every street corner. Not quite, but almost, it seems like. So the gospel is readily available to us. There's many, many Christian books. There's Christian movies. You have Christian television stations. There's just so many opportunities to hear the gospel. But for 42% of the world's population, that is not so. Therefore, we have to go and make disciples. You know, there's unreached people groups right here in our own hometown. You may find that hard to believe, but it's true. There are people who are here, some come from other countries, who have just never heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. Others are from the U.S., but more and more, the word has become unimportant to some people. And so children grow up not knowing the gospel. I remember one time at work, a gentleman and I were having a conversation, and to make a long story short, he did not understand or know what John 3:16 was. Because we were talking about Monday Night Football and the rainbow wig guy back in the 70s and early 80s who would be behind a goalpost of every Monday Night Football game, and he'd have a sign that read John 3:16. And this guy said, "What in the world does that mean?" Now, he was an educated young man. He actually grew up military, but he was never around the Word. He was not exposed to the gospel. So I was able to share with him John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, his one and only Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." So there's people groups right here that we need to reach, but there's people groups around the world that we have to reach as well. Mark 16, verse 15. "And he said to them," Jesus did, "go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. And in Luke 24, verses 46 through 47, and said to them, "Thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance for forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem." John chapter 20, verse 21, Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." Are we seeing a clear message here? Jesus is sending us to the nations, to people groups, locally, regionally, around the world, to share this good news of the gospel, that Jesus, God in the flesh, came here to earth. He lived a perfect life, fulfilled the law, and then bore the stripes on his back, on his whole body, for our sins, for our healing. He died on the cross for our sins, and he saved us from the wrath of God. And on the third day, he arose from the grave to give all who believe eternal life. He's done it all, and we need to proclaim the gospel to others. And he keeps telling us, he's sending us out, he's sending us out. Now, our response should be like Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 6, verse 8. "And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then I said, Here I am, send me." Oh, Lord Jesus, let that be our reply to your commands. Here am I, send me. Will you go? Will you go for one more soul? Just one more soul. There's a good brother who's a pastor in the Philippines, is our lead pastor over there in the southern Philippines, and he is so passionate about reaching the lost. And he often says, "How much more will you do to reach just one more? And then when you reach that one more, how much more will you do to reach another one and another one and another one?" It's not easy. Some of these souls live in very rough neighborhoods, very rough areas of the city. Some live in remote regions of the world and countries where it's against the law to convert from Islam or Hindu or any other religion to Jesus. But we have to go. We have to go. We have to tell others. And we show them through our actions as well, but we have to share the gospel as well, because Jesus did. I know some will say, "Well, I can show people how to live." And that's true. We can and we must. But Jesus always shared. He always talked. He always talked about the kingdom. The first church, when we read about the apostles and the new believers in the book of Acts, they talked about Jesus. They lived the life, but they also shared the good news. So we have to do that as well. I think about a couple who are good friends of my wife, Martha, and I. Their names are Jim and Keitha. They were living here in Dothan, and we love them so much. We got to minister together, and we actually traveled across the world twice, once to China and once to India, together to share the gospel of Jesus Christ and to make disciples and teach discipleship. But they were always ready to go. When God called them to go, they were ready. And the time came last year to leave Dothan and the comforts of living in the U.S. to live in the country of Myanmar, which is a country that Martha and I have visited on a couple of different occasions. But they're at a different area in that country, and it's not safe. They've endured and persevered through earthquakes, I should say. They have persevered through some basically wartime situations, gunfire and bombs going off. But they're there in a very poor country because people need Jesus, people who have never heard the gospel. And they've shared Jesus with some of those people. And some of those have come to Jesus. They realize that they need Jesus, that Jesus is real. And they've given their lives to Jesus, and they're being discipled now. That's just an awesome example of a couple who said, "Here I am, Lord, send me." And when the time came, they went. And Martha and I, we both had jobs. Martha, 22 years in the medical field. I had 22 years in the journalism field. And we had always done ministry together. But the time came to step out of the comfort zone and step into full-time ministry. And we did. And has it been easy? No. But has it been rewarding? You better believe it. I couldn't imagine doing anything else now. I know everybody's not called to be a foreign missionary or to go into full-time ministry. The truth of the matter is, God needs us everywhere. He needs His people everywhere. And the marketplace, the workplace, are definitely places where we need men and women of God. And while Martha and I were she was in the medical field, I was in journalism, you know, we shared Jesus with others. Was I perfect? No. But did I live for Him? Yes. We have to. We have to show and we have to tell others about Jesus. I've got a very good friend who is in the marketplace now, and he is just really reaching people that I couldn't reach. And you can reach people that your pastor cannot reach. We all have a circle of influence. It's our family. It's our friends. It's our colleagues at work. You can reach them better than I can. If they can listen to the radio, and that's great. Encourage them to. Because the music they hear on the Joy FM is going to minister to them and lift them up. Messages that they hear on the Joy FM, they're going to hear the gospel, and that's great. But what's going to be powerful is your testimony, your witness to them about how Jesus has changed your life. And you can do that. You know why I know? Because God's Word tells me so. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Jesus says, you will receive power. He was talking to His disciples before He ascended to heaven. And they did. Remember, in the upper room. And when they did, they became just outstanding, tremendous witnesses of the gospel. But Jesus also speaking to all of us who are believers. He's saying He's given us His Holy Spirit. So God Himself, through the Holy Spirit, is living in us. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. So see, God is living in us, and He's given us the power to be His witnesses. Now, we don't live in Jerusalem, and I've never been to Jerusalem, Judea, or Samaria. But I live in Dothan, Alabama. That's my Jerusalem. The southeast Alabama region is my Judea. Samaria, I just consider that the rest of the U.S. I've been blessed to go to many places throughout this country to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. And also to the end of the earth. And for me, that's been over in Southeast Asia, Central Asia, to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's only because He gives us the power to do so. But as we wrap up, to look at the key words, go, proclaim, make, teach, baptize. They're all action words. So we have to be active if we're believers. So in your self-evaluation, see if you're active. See if you're fulfilling the Great Commission. And if not, pray to Him. Ask Him to help you. Ask Him to fill you fresh with His Holy Spirit and to help you to live for Him each and every day and to fulfill His Great Commission. Well, thank you for joining me today. We're out of time, but Happy New Year, everybody. I hope you have a great rest of the day, a wonderful week coming up. May the Lord bless you and keep you, and cause His face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May He lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace.